You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio.
Right out of Vegas!
Well, the beauty of the sports world is that it's always been the greatest reality show going. And you can script everything but the outcome. And if you saw Tua and Jalen Hurts hugging it out at the end of the Bama-Georgia game today, you can't tell me it's just a game. Just a game? Really? Yeah, right. And the Grand Canyon is just a hole in Arizona. In a few years, we'll know the fourth team in this year's college football playoff final. I think it will be Oklahoma, but I'm going to get to that in just a minute. On that note, welcome back to another edition of Straight Out of Vegas. RJ Bell is out and about. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car and visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Now, this is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. As you know, Straight Out of Vegas here is Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, from 3 to 6 Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. Now, each day they take you behind the scenes and they offer up solid commentary and insights on the world of sports betting so you can benefit from their years of expertise and knowledge. And on our Saturday edition of Straight Out of Vegas, we look back at the best of, and we'll take a look at some of the most compelling takes and analyses from the previous week so you can enjoy them again. Now, here's the best thing about this concept. Each of the best of takes are designed to look ahead to this week's NFL action. And during the week, the guys devote 5 full hours to providing the finest content. On the weekends, we distill it down to the best hour. And of course, I'll add my own inflection as well, because I live in Las Vegas too, and I've been privy to these gentlemen and their know-how for many years. So join us every Saturday night, 11 p.m. Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern, and yes, we want you along for the ride. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you've always wanted. Now, the show is designed to preview the NFL slate and kickoff for Sunday's games is less than 12 hours away, but as we come to you live from Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, you know, we want to talk about what happened today in college football, and I want to really try to put my mind around this for just a second. So we know there, in 10 hours, we're all going to know. And it's come down to the whims of about 13 people who will decide the fate of 3 deserving teams, but 2 are going to be left out. Let's be clear. This is not a playoff. It's an orchestrated charade. So I'm going to try to give an analysis, okay, because it turns out it's not who you beat. It's more of a referendum on who you lost to. So I'm going to start with Georgia, an outstanding team, a deserving team. They're 10-2, but they're a 2-loss team, and they did not win their conference. And the question you have to ask yourself is, terrific as they are, can you reward a team that blew a 2-touchdown lead in the second half? No, I don't think you can. So that leaves Oklahoma and Ohio State. Start with Oklahoma. Their only loss this season was by 3 points in a 1-possession game to number 14 Texas, which they avenged today. So either they're in or Ohio State's in. Ohio State's 12-1. Their only loss, as impressive as Ohio State is, was a 29-point loss to a 6-6 team. All right. Meanwhile, Oklahoma played a tougher schedule, and in their common opponent, TCU, Oklahoma fared better, even though they both won. So if you can decipher all that, you're better than me. It's my short way of saying I think it's going to be Oklahoma. Now, tonight, we also continue our new 10-second feature, While You're Sleeping, with our own Sleepy J. See, while you're sleeping, the Straight Out of Vegas staff is working 24-7 to find ways so you can distress your bookie and impress your friends. Sleepy will have some good stuff tonight. Also, tonight at the bottom of the hour, I'll take you inside the Fratto House for my weekly commentary. I'll be offering my amateur psychology and which coach might actually benefit most from a true college football playoff format. And at the same time, I'm going to debunk the myth that this individual is the transcendent coach you fans want him to be. Yeah, I might be talking about Michigan, but look, don't worry, I'm not going to rip Michigan. The 3 men I admire most, the father, son, and Fielding Yost. All right, we're here for the NFL to get you ready tomorrow. So let's start out by going to Tampa Bay, where, as you know, the Bucs, well, they produce more turnovers than a bakery. And in an oddity, the public thinks Tampa Bay stinks, but they've been a fan favorite of the bettors. RJ clearly points out the problem is not the offense, as they amass yards in large quantities, but they're historically bad when it comes to observing the fact that the Bucs' turnovers somehow outweigh their offensive production. Let's take a listen.
Tampa's been a darling of the batters. A lot of, not necessarily every week, but I think the batters like Tampa better than the average fan. Fez, you've got Tampa, what, 16th? Am I remembering that right?
18th in my power ratings.
18th, like a smidge below average. You might think he's crazy. Guys, check out the yardage that Tampa Bay has gained the last seven games. I'm going to read each of them quickly. 412, 510, 501. That's 501 yards. 301, okay. 576, 456, 510. I haven't seen Elias or whatever. I wonder over those seven games if that's the best seven-game run for yardage in the history of the NFL. I mean, it's like 500 a game almost. So, yeah, turnovers, huge problem for Tampa. I don't think Tampa's an above-average team. But, boy, that offense, it's getting as many yards as any I've seen, and we're talking about a half a season.
Yeah, minus 21 turnover differential year-to-date, last in the NFL. The wise guys know this typically is not predictive going forward.
Yeah, so the fact that they turned the ball over a bunch, Tampa, means they've suffered for that in the past. It doesn't mean it's going to keep happening. In fact, odds are it doesn't keep happening, right? So I think Tampa might be a team to look at. By the way, you said the differential was minus 21? There's only one other team worse than minus 11. So there's one team that's almost as bad as Tampa. And then the other 30 teams, even the worst of them, have about half as many net negative turnovers. Tampa is like historically bad with turnovers and historically good with yardage.
Now, while it's true Carolina would still be the 8th seed if the playoffs started today, the Panthers really need Cam Newton to put on a Superman cape tomorrow. Unfortunately, Cam is, well, he's 7-0 straight up and against the spread against under 500 opponents in the second half of the season. And add to that, the Bucs are not only 4-11 straight up and against the spread as the home team in this series, they're also 2-10 in this series against the spread when they're coming off a win. So Cam Newton and company will shine here. Cam is 6-0 in December when coming off a loss. And there's a reason Tampa Bay is a three-point dog at home. I think you lay the points here with the Carolina Panthers. All right, let's head to that debacle called Cincinnati. They're catching five at home against Denver. Now, here's the understatement of the century. The Bengals have some real issues. But conventional wisdom suggests that sometimes the time to back the team that nobody wants is when Cincinnati's in the debacle that they're in right now. However, in this case, that logic might not apply. You might be getting value here, but there's really no value in a torn-up ticket. Take a listen to this cut because Steve Fezzik also points out metaphorically how the roof is caving in by the fact that Cincinnati is not only bad, they're in failing health. Let's have a listen.
Instead of giving numbers here, I'm going to talk about a quick concept. Oftentimes, if a team's doing poorly, that's when you want to play on them because they're cheap. Think about it like a house, right? The idea that, the grass is really high or the stucco's falling off, it's cheap. Well, but fundamentally, you cut the grass and put a little new stucco, you're fine. But sometimes the house has like an open sore beneath it that nothing is going to fix, right? So even if it's cheap for a reason. The Bengals are cheap. But I think there's so much turmoil. Hugh Jackson coming in there as a coach in waiting, and then the idea that they played that badly against the Browns, I don't know if you can properly quantify. I don't know if the Browns or if the Bengals can be cheap enough considering the turmoil I think is going on in that locker room, in that building.
And more tiles are falling off the Bengal roof. Five new defenders on the injury report.
Well, you see how he extended that analogy, Fez? Yeah.
All right, so the Bungles, well, they'll start Jeff Driscoll at quarterback tomorrow. So get to know him, because Andy Dalton is out for the season. Now, in a short sample, Driscoll's quarterback rating is 92.6, but he's only thrown 36 total passes in his career. So he's really going to need the services of A.J. Green to have any shot against the Broncos, who really kind of appear motivated actually here. But here's where the trends really cause a brain cramp, because Cincinnati is 5-0 against the spread in the first leg of back-to-back AFC games, and this game is one of those games. I'm going to actually just go ahead and stay away from this game. It just bothers me. All right, in another situation where you've got a double-digit favorite, you got the Tennessee Titans facing off against the New York Jets. The Titans are laying 10, and, well, look, more quarterback issues for the Jets, and let's face it, Joe Namath isn't walking through that door. And in a fairly rare circumstance, RJ and Fezzik point out that even though it appears Josh McCown will start, and he would technically be the backup to Sam Darnold, it doesn't appear to be any effect on this line whatsoever. It's just an ugly game. RJ and Fezzik weigh in. Let's have a quick listen.
I think the thing I'd say about this game is I don't care who quarterbacks for the Jets. I think McCown and Darnold right now are a coin flip, and thus do we have an update right now who's going to start, Fez?
Yeah, very likely that it's going to be McCown.
McCown?
Yes.
Wow. So to me, I don't, you know, as much as that's, hey, that's news, I think against the spread, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no adjustment.
Now, this Titans-Jet game is really ugly from a handicapping standpoint. The Titans have struggled mightily coming off Monday night games. They're only 1-6 against the number. And surprisingly, they're only 2-8 against the spread in their last 10 versus the Jets. But Josh McCown, well, it's hard to believe. He's only 3-26 as a starter going back to 2014. So again, I think I'm going to pass on this game. It's my right, and I'm absolutely going to exercise that right. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. I'm Bernie Fratto, and this is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, and as we continue our tour through the NFL, getting you ready for tomorrow's games, let's take a look at the Colts and Jaguars, where the Jaguars are a 4-point home dog. And let's start by saying, hello, Cody Kessler. Now, in this cut, RJ points out how incredibly productive Andrew Luck has been this season. And over the course of the last 5 games, now, he even compares Andrew Luck to a sure first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy who's won 5 Super Bowls. And frankly, RJ makes his case quite well. Let's have a listen.
You know, if you look at Andrew Luck, obviously having a comeback season, I don't think people realize how well Andrew Luck is playing. Best quarterback rating, QBR, ESPN does, in the history of the NFL was Tom Brady in 2007. The last 5 games that Andrew Luck has played, all 5 of them individually, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, he had a better QBR than Tom Brady's best season. So over the course of 5 games, Andrew Luck is playing in each and every game better than the best quarterback has ever played for a season. It is easier to do that over 5 games, but this level, the last 5 games, is all-time historically good quarterback play for Andrew Luck.
Now, if you want some perspective on the reversal of fortune for these two franchises, last year, when Jacksonville played Indianapolis, the Jags were actually 10-point favorites. The Colts are hot. They entered this game riding a 5-game winning streak. And in the Andrew Luck era, Indy's a cool 17-2 straight up and 15-3-1 against the spread when they're road chalk as a team with a winning record, which they are. All those things check. Every box checks. Now, it gets worse for the Jags. Andrew Luck is actually 6-1 against the spread in the month of December when he's facing an opponent who's coming off consecutive losses. As Sleepy said before the show, Jacksonville had their dream crusher 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh. They had the nail in the coffin last week in Buffalo. I don't think Jacksonville's real motivated here. You got to like the Colts. All right, let's head to Green Bay, a team that's scuffling, but they're still laying 2 touchdowns against the Arizona Cardinals. And in this cut, RJ makes no bones about the fact he feels this line is actually way off. and he cites history to make his case. Now listen closely. There's a lot of good data here when it comes to understanding the history of the NFL and how competitive it is when a good team plays a bad team. Still the NFL. But Fezzik closes out by sticking up for the Cardinals. Well, a little bit, sort of. Let's have a listen.
This is historic, the fact that the Packers are favored by 14. If you enter the second half of the season when records mean more, right? If you're 1-2 early, what does that mean? But second half of the season, there's only been one other team with a record as bad as the Packers to be favored by 2 touchdowns or more. And that team lost against the spread. So if the Packers cover the 14, they will be the first team in 30 years to cover a 2-touchdown or greater spread having a record as bad as they have right now. The only way that makes sense is if Arizona is a historically bad team, and they're not. They're just a normal bottom-of-the-league bad team. Or Green Bay is a historically good team with a bad record. I don't think they are. I like Arizona.
I actually have Arizona ranked above Oakland just in this year, so they're not a historically bad team.
Agreed.
Now, for what it's worth, I think I'm going to send a search party for the real Aaron Rodgers. This Aaron Rodgers has lost 9 of his last 10 road games, and he's 0-6 on the road this season. Fortunately, he's home this week in the friendly confines against the second-worst team in the league. But interestingly enough, Colin Cowherd, earlier in the week on his national show, shared a damning stat. In the Packers' last 37 games, when they faced an above 500 team, and they're trailing at any time in the fourth quarter, they're 0-37. But I'd be remiss if I didn't share this with you. In Green Bay's remaining games, they're actually facing teams with a cumulative record of 21-34. So maybe it's never too late. In fact, if you're feeling saucy, you can get the Packers at 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. It could be a great hedgeback opportunity. Now, as far as this game tomorrow, well, I lean to the Packers because Aaron Rodgers is 20-4 against the spread when he returns home off back-to-back road losses. All right, don't look now, but here's another road favorite. The Chicago Bears, who are having a terrific season, they're laying 3.5 on the road against the New York Giants. But let's unpack this, because RJ exposes the Bears a little bit and points out a glaring hole in Chicago's attack, which could actually hamper their ability to have continued success. Now, RJ also gets very specific when using real numbers and how woeful they appear to be when you consider the production is well below what you need to be for a burgeoning playoff team. I'm talking about the Chicago Bears. Listen closely. RJ covers a lot of ground. Let's have a listen.
The Bears, I think there's some smoke and mirrors with the offense. Nagy, we've talked about that. And Trubisky, now obviously a backup quarterback. But their ability to run the ball. If you're going to be an old school team, what are you thinking about? Play defense, get some turnovers, run the ball well, selectively throw. This is the yards per rush. So this is the Bears, what they're gaining every time they run the ball the last 4 games. And we just said 4 and change is average. 2.5 yards, 3.8, 2.5, 2.5. So 3 of the last 4 games, the Bears have averaged 2.5 yards exactly per rush, which is not much more than half of what the average team in the NFL does. If the Bears can't run, that means they got to pass. I don't want to be the Bears if they have to pass.
By the way, at quarterback for the Bears, just so you know, it looks like Chase Daniel gets the call again this week. But give him credit, he was solid on Turkey Day versus Detroit. But like a lot of veteran quarterbacks, Eli Manning is successful in December. In fact, Manning owns a 19-11 against the spread record at home, and he's 12-3 in December when coming off a loss. The only question is how will Pat Shurmur utilize Saquon Barkley? Because he's the G-Men's best weapon. But against Philly last week, with the second half lead, Shurmur hardly used him at all. And you saw what happened. So I'd be very careful about this game. This upcoming game here I'm going to talk about, it's really a bit of a head-scratcher because it opened up. You have a rookie quarterback making only his 3rd start in history, and they actually opened as a road favorite. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. They're at Atlanta. Falcons -2.5. Line is flipped around now. And couple things to note here. Atlanta against the rush the last few games, well, they've been pathetic, especially when you compare them to typical NFL league averages. And guess who's coming to town? Who I just said, Lamar Jackson. He's not only been very impressive in going 2-0 in his first two career starts, but the real reason for his success is a prolific running ability. That is a problem for the Falcons. Or is it? RJ and Fezzik weigh in. Let's take a listen.
This is the Falcons' rush defense the last three games. Yards per carry, the opposition. How many yards Atlanta's given up per carry? Now, average in the NFL, Fez, is?
4.3, I believe.
Really? I thought it was closer to 4.
No, it's gone up this year.
All right, so 4 and some change. 4.8 yards, 4.5 yards, 7.3 yards. Ooh. Last three games. So we know with Lamar Jackson, Baltimore's running, running, running. In fact, last week, Baltimore had 242 yards rushing. But boy, Atlanta, worst defense by DVOA. And it looks like their run D is getting worse for the Falcons.
Now, in fairness to the home team, the Ravens, well, they're going to be facing an angry Falcons squad. Remember the Dirty Birds? Well, you might want to call these guys the Angry Birds. Now, the season's not lost yet. It's close, but it's not lost yet. Atlanta is still mathematically alive for the playoffs. And in his career, Matt Ryan is actually 11-3 against the spread as a home dog. Now, he's not a home dog. They're laying 2.5, but they open as a home dog. Meanwhile, the Ravens, well, they're very unimpressive, 2-8 against the spread on the road versus NFC opponents for some reason. Now, final thought, again, Baltimore opened up as a road favorite. It's since switched over. Can a rookie really win three games in a row in his first three NFL starts when his opponent is just as motivated as he is? This is kind of a playoff, you know, game for both teams when you really consider it. Up next, we've got so much more to get to. We're going to talk about the Rams, Lions, Chiefs, Raiders, Browns, Texans, and much, much more. But first, let's go to our man, Ralph Irvin, with the latest.
Well, thank you very much, Birdie. And, well, it was a battle in Atlanta. But finally, the Georgia Bulldogs succumbed to the number one Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama wins at 35-28. They take the SEC championship and clinch their spot, of course, in the college football playoff. Number two, Clemson rolled through Pittsburgh. They win the ACC crown 42-10. Number five, Oklahoma. They win the Big 12 title, beating number 14, Texas, 39-27. Ohio State, the number six team in the country, takes care of number 21, Northwestern. They win the Big 10 45-24. How about UCF rallying from 17 down at the half? They beat Memphis 56-41. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. At Staples Center, Tyson Fury and WBC champion Deontay Wilder fought to a draw. Both heavyweights remain undefeated. And on the NBA hardwood, Steph Curry returned after missing 11 games for the Warriors, but they were still no match for Detroit. The Pistons beat Golden State 111-102. Kawhi Leonard's 34 points gave Toronto their eighth straight win, beating Cleveland 106-95. Back to you.
Back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto. And by the way, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. Before we get to the rest of the NFL slate, it's that time for Inside the Fratto House, my weekly monologue. Okay, wake the kids, alert the neighbors, grandpa put on pants. Here we go. One of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes involves a fictitious baseball club, the Hoboken Zephyrs, and their plight to become a winning franchise after years as a perennial doormat. That is until Casey and his agent show up one day looking to play. Casey, it turns out, is a left-handed pitcher, and not just any pitcher. He's got a fastball Aroldis Chapman would envy, and he can change speeds better than Lance Armstrong. Shortly after signing, Casey proceeds to win game after game, baffling hitters as the Zephyrs begin to race for the pennant. Finally, the team climbs into first place. Things seem to be too good to be true, and they are. Well, one day while strolling around the field during pregame, Casey is hit on the head by an errant throw, and he's carried off on a stretcher. While being examined by the team doctor, he's unable to find a heartbeat, and for good reason. Casey is a robot, and his agent is actually a scientist. Unfortunately, a little-known rule in the bylaws prohibit Casey from playing because he has no heart. The final scene shows Casey leaving through the park for good. Very solemnly, as he exits through the outfield fence, and along with him, the pennant hopes of the Hoboken Zephyrs. Now, if you look closely at those images and the metaphor, it looks strikingly like the Michigan Wolverines football program. Let's start at the top. Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. Maybe a great coach, but he's not an elite coach. You want to have sleepovers, climb trees, go to the Vatican to high-five the Pope? Well, he's your guy. But if you want to beat Ohio State, win Big Ten championships, and get into the college football playoff, well, you better check yourself. And see, that's what Harbaugh was hired to do. Face it, Harbaugh hasn't even gotten Michigan to the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. But he's the one who said, who's got it better than us? He was to be the savior. In fact, before arriving in Ann Arbor, the Wolverines had lost 10 of 11 to the Buckeyes. Under Jim Harbaugh, they've lost four in a row. He's winless. Even his two wins over Michigan State, well, they were against Spartan teams with a combined record of 9-14. That just simply underscores the underlying disappointment around the fan base. I realize you want to force feed the idea that Jim Harbaugh is special. Yeah, he's special, all right. Just not in the way that you want him to be. Now, to be fair, there's nothing wrong with sporting a 10-2 record unless you understand the dynamics surrounding the maize and blue. Now, trust me, I know. I lived in that market, and I covered those teams for many years. A 10-2 record with a loss to Ohio State, it feels incomplete, empty, barren, lifeless. These losses are devastating, and against Urban Meyer, well, Harbaugh, he looks lost. And that's the worst part. Jim Harbaugh was supposed to be the equalizer. They hate Meyer in Ann Arbor. Regrettably, though, he owns you, Ann Arbor. Sure, call him a disingenuous crap weasel all you want. He still owns you. On the next 48 hours, we'll know Michigan's next opponent in their bowl game. And moles tell me it could be LSU, it could be Florida, maybe even Washington State. I don't know. It's a guess. But even if somehow they end up in the Rose Bowl, which they won't, they would have backed in and you know it. Regardless, I'm going to fade the Michigan Wolverines in their bowl game, and I suggest you do the same. Their resume is suspect. Their 10 wins came against teams with a cumulative record of 57-62. Frankly, I think doubt has been inserted behind the four walls, even though they'll never admit it. Rashawn Gary has already declared for the NFL draft, and I hear a total of 8 other players are considering it. So you think this is going to be a focus group in their bowl game? Look at the bright side. Maybe there's time for Mr. Harbaugh to take the boys on one last field trip junket before the holidays. But I know there's one place he won't be going in early January. In closing, perhaps Rod Serling might wax. Quote, if you're interested as to whether or not Jim Harbaugh will ever get to the promised land, you might want to check under R for reality in the Twilight Zone. In the meantime, you don't have to check Levi Stadium on January 7th, 2019, because you won't find them there. All right, back to the NFL. The Los Angeles Rams, coming off a bye, head to Detroit. They win tomorrow to clinch a playoff spot. They are laying 10 against the hapless Lions. But the Lions might just be what the doctor ordered for Sean McVay's team, especially when you consider the fact Detroit's been dreadful in the second half of games the last 4 weeks, being outgained by over 80 yards in quarters 3 and 4 cumulatively. Now, on this cut, RJ points out the Rams are near the top of the list when pointing out teams who really need a bye and some rest, especially when you consider their brutal travel schedule thus far in 2018. Let's have a listen.
I think the Rams are probably one of two or three teams that needed a bye the most. They had so many tough games. They traveled so much, and especially going to Colorado and back for a home game before the bye. I think that obviously you got a really good coach in McVay, and they tend to do well with byes. But I think even beyond that, the fatigue factor for the Rams was high, and I think that the time off will do the Rams good.
Now, if we're really being honest here, the Rams have been overvalued by the odds makers in the last 8 weeks. They're a paltry 1-6-1 against the spread, and you really have to take a hard look at their defense. In their last 3 games, they've allowed 127 points, 483 yards per game, and 5 touchdowns per game. I don't care who was against. That's horrible. And keep in mind, the Rams have to travel to Chicago next week, and then they host the Philadelphia Eagles the following week. So might they be looking past the Lions? Well, amazingly, after the Jets debacle last week, NFL teams are 0-8 in their last eight games as home dogs against the spread of 8 points or more. So eights are wild. I actually think the back door will stay open here. And Matt Padford, Stat Padford, that's what my buddy Rob Parker calls him. Let me try that again. I actually think the back door is going to stay open here. And Stat Padford, otherwise known as Matt Stafford, I can't even talk. Matt Stafford, he's going to hang that number. I just got a funny feeling that when no one wants the Lions, that's when you take them. I know that's not real logical, but work with me on that. I covered that team 10 years. All right, another team that can't get out of their own way, the Raiders. They're catching 14. It was as high as 15.5. They're hosting the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow. And in this cut, RJ points out truly how prolific Andy Reid's been since coming off a bye. And over the years, he's really been kind of automatic. And the Chiefs, well, not only do they come off a bye, they get the Raiders. Let's have a listen.
We talked about byes. Andy Reid is the king of byes. In the regular season, off a bye, 16-3 straight up. You might have heard that. But 14-5 against the spread. A lot of good teams with the Eagles, a lot of good teams with KC, and still 14-5 against the spread, Andy Reid off a bye.
Now, there's a situation in the NFL that goes like this. Whenever a team scores 35 points and loses, then goes on the road the following week, that's the Chiefs, they're 28-8 against the spread. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs are an incredible 68% against the spread on the road since December 2015. Finally, as we talked about last week, this is not your father's NFL. It used to be taboo to lay double digits, but if you did so blindly since 2016, you'd be 42-20 against the spread. In fact, all three teams last week who were laying double digits got the cover. Add to that, Patrick Mahomes is 5-0 against the spread as a road favorite. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm on the Chiefs. I'm laying the wood. I'm not bashful about it. I know a lot of the pros are taking the points, but I just can't pass this up. Now, one final note. We know Kansas City has parted ways with Kareem Hunt. Now, how much will that affect them Sunday? In a one-game affair, I don't think too much. It's something we're going to watch over the course of the season, though. But for tomorrow, Spencer Ware is a credible backup, and I think he'll be fine. Now, we've still got to get to Browns, Texans, and Bills, Dolphins, and much, much more. So don't go away. This is the pregame show you've always wanted. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas. I'm Bernie Fratto.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto. And by the way, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 50% or more on car insurance. Before we get to Browns Texans here, I want to thank my guys back in Los Angeles. Vince Close, Iowa Sam, and Ralph Irvin. As usual, you guys are doing a terrific job. Teamwork, teamwork, teamwork. Couldn't do the show without you. Really appreciate you. All right. Let's head to Texas. The crazy Texans laying 5 against the hot America's team, Browns, Cleveland Browns. Browns visiting Houston. And RJ in this cut takes a deep dive into certain specific matchups here. Now pay close attention, and here's why. The Browns are in a very unique situation here in what they do best. Well, it could pose a problem for the Texans, and here's why. Because, in other words, Cleveland's strength is actually a real foil when matched up against the Houston Texans' strength. Let's have a listen.
I think this is advantage Browns when it comes to matchups. Houston's about defense. I know Watson gets the publicity, but the DVOA, and that's an advanced metric from Football Outsiders that we trust, for Houston's offense is number 25. Right, but they're number 16 passing, number 30 running. So it's simple to say Houston has to pass the ball. Were the Browns' defense against the pass second best in the NFL? Browns' defense against the run, number 26. So this is one of the handful of teams where they can stop one thing and can't stop the other. Browns can stop the pass, and Houston seems to have to pass to win. Matchup advantage, Browns.
Now, incredibly, after losing their first three games, Bill O'Brien's bunch, well, they've won 8 in a row, but they're facing a resurgent Baker Mayfield, and, you know, they seem to have a new life post-Hugh Jackson. In fact, Baker Mayfield, in his last 5 starts, well, he's thrown for 13 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. That's good for a 113 quarterback rating. Not bad. Plus, it gets a little dicey for Houston. Since 1980, teams who've won 8 in a row, where they're only 12-23 against the spread, including only 6-17 as favorites against the spread. Add to that, the Texans, they're only 1-5 following a Monday Night Football game. Hey, the Brownies, they could be a live dog here. All right, let's head down to Miami, where the Dolphins are laying 3.5 against the visiting Buffalo Bills. And in this cut, RJ talks about the Dolphins' record, which isn't great to begin with, but believe it or not, that Miami still has designs on making the playoffs. But when you analyze a key metric that professional bettors place a high premium on, it doesn't necessarily paint a rosy picture for the Fish and their future hopes. Let's have a listen.
You know, Miami, 5-6 record, talking about the playoffs, they've been outgained by their opposition yardage-wise 5 straight games. I mean, I know Miami's not as good as their record. Boy, they might be even worse than people think. Outgained 5 straight games.
Now, it sort of appears to me that Dolphins coach Adam Gase, he might be coaching for his job. And he might want to update his resume, because the Dolphins are only 3-7 straight up and against the spread in their last 10 with Buffalo. Plus, I think the Dolphins are still reeling from their choke job at Indianapolis last week. I'm not really so sure they can recover. Finally, here's an obscure stat that favors the Bills. They're 4-1 against the spread when playing a road game sandwiched between 2 home games. That's exactly what the Bills are doing here. Onward and upward. RJ, his favorite team, the Steelers. In this cut, he talks about the fact that even though Pittsburgh lost to Denver last week, they were still incredibly dominant, and it proved how formidable Pittsburgh really is. Listen closely. RJ even references a famous movie from the 80s starring Michael J. Fox. Let's take a listen.
Steelers lost last week, obviously, to Denver. Here's an amazing stat. Pittsburgh outgained Denver by more yards than any team outgained their opponent last week. Fez, if I would tell you, I'm going to tell you because I got the almanac from Back to the Future, who's going to have the best yardage differential this week? And oh, by the way, that team isn't favored by more than 4 points. I'm guessing you would want to bet that team.
Yeah, probably covers, what, 88% of the time?
Yeah, a lot. So, yeah, Pittsburgh obviously lost the game, but it might be the best of both worlds. If you look at the yardage, the team's playing pretty well, but the motivation is there because Pittsburgh did lose the game.
So those Pittsburgh Steelers were flexed to the Sunday night game tomorrow night. They're laying 3.5 against the Chargers, and RJ in this cut talks about how truly good the Steelers are when they're laser focused. And he backs it up with some real stats that on one side of the ball are very notable. You add it up and the combination of a good offense and a good defense, and the Steelers are almost unbeatable. Unless, of course, as Fezzik points out, the Steelers fall prey to this one damning statistic. Let's have a listen.
I think it's all about, are they paying attention? If the Steelers are paying attention, they are one of the best teams in the NFL. I think they're clearly better than New England, let's say, if they're paying attention. I think they're right there with Kansas City if the Steelers are paying attention. And a lot of that is driven by the Steelers' defense. I don't think people realize. I mean, it's been since September the Steelers have given up more than 24 points. And the only game they gave up more than 17 was that Denver game. So this D, leading the league in sacks, the Steelers, is mighty good. When this offense is clicking, I don't think any team, and I would make the case, and we'll see what the Rams become when the Rams are healthy on defense, but I would make the case that no team that has an elite offense, and Pittsburgh's on that list, none of those teams have a defense as good as the Steelers. Pittsburgh outgained Denver by 219 yards. That was the most yardage differential of any game last week. So if we use yardage as a proxy to how well you're doing, your net yardage relative to your opponent, Pittsburgh was the most dominant team last week. And they lost.
Because they were minus four in turnovers.
Minus four in turnovers. Big Ben, the fact that all we've been talking about all week in the media is those turnovers, I think means Big Ben.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this week edition of Straight Out of Vegas. I'm Bernie Fratto. Don't go anywhere. Up next, this guy so cool he went to a psychic, wants to warn her about the future. Yep, it's Jonas Knox.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.